I'm Sophie Natto, and you're listening to the second season of The Middle. If you're a media geek and work in public relations, journalism, or marketing, you're in the right place.
I've been doing a podcast.
F*** you for thinking that this world needs another podcast and that people you know should listen to it. It's a bad idea and a waste of time.
Today, we're talking about podcasts. What's the point if everyone has one? How can podcasters break out? And more importantly, can you make money at it? Jamie Poisson is the host of CBC's daily news podcast, Front Burner. Prior to this, she spent 8 years as a reporter for the Toronto Star, focusing largely on investigative reporting. Matthew Ingram is the Columbia Journalism Review's chief digital writer. He's been writing about the intersection between media and technology since the earliest days of the internet. So thanks to you both for joining me on this podcast. This is going to be a bit of a meta conversation, Jamie.
I love it. Thanks for having us, Sophie.
I'm so excited. Okay, yeah. So, you know, last year, Matthew, you were on the podcast for season one. And at that point, all the really cool podcasts that Canadians were listening to were American. And, you know, we were doing this as a project. It was like a geek project. We didn't really have, you know, an expectation that it would, you know, be really downloaded or anything. It was just an experiment. And all of a sudden now this year, there's podcasts everywhere to the point where it's become a bit of a running joke. Like, if you don't have a podcast, you're not, you know, into politics, you're not into Canadian journalism. How do we get here, do you think, Matthew?
Well, I think a lot of it is just people looking for a new thing. I mean, there's a lot of the old things are not working anymore. So, you know, why not try something new? Mm-hmm. And it's pretty kind of low. There's a low barrier to entry, mm-hmm. so it doesn't cost you a lot to experiment with it.
That's true.
And then, you know, if you give it a shot and it kind of works, then pour some resources into it. That certainly is the way I think a lot of people are looking at it. Try it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Jamie, you leapt from print to
this.
Talk to me a little bit about that decision and how it's been going.
Yeah. I would say it was a real learning curve for me. You know, when I was making the decision or I was interested in podcasting, I was spending some time in Chicago doing I was just studying at the University of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so I had some time because I was studying and I found myself just walking around Chicago with my earphones on, listening to podcasts. I was listening to The Daily. I was listening to Sam Harris. I was listening to Ezra Klein. I was mm-hmm. listening to, you know, This American Life. You know, when I was talking with the CBC and I went in to audition for this role, you know, it appealed to me because this was something that I was doing mm-hmm. like every day. Mm-hmm. And this was becoming increasingly the primary way in which I was not consuming the news, but digging into the news. Like when I wanted to spend time with a story, I was going to a podcast.
Explanatory journalism,
yes.
I guess, Matthew, is what we're calling it.
Yeah.
Now. Is it working? I mean, how is Front Burner doing? Can you tell us how it's doing?
Yeah. So, I mean, we have about 300,000 downloads a week.
Wow. That's great.
And so I don't know what that is a day, but, you know, I think it's about 60,000. Mm-hmm. And it is routinely in the top 20 total episodes in the Apple episode chart. Mm-hmm. 70% of our listeners come from Apple Podcasts. So, you know, mm-hmm. this is a good indication. And, you know, the majority of them are Americans in that chart.
Really?
So, yeah, on a day-to-day basis, it's usually like Joe Rogan, The Daily, This American Life, right. BBC, yeah. us. And then I will say Canada Land right. Also does very well. And the big investigative podcast from right. CBC, like Uncover.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I feel like it's going okay. You know, we know sort of average listeners are kind of between like 25 and 35. Okay. Those are from Spotify. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to be able to have a show that is also speaking, you know, to me, to my generation. Mm-hmm. This is my generation. Right. You know, I am a millennial.
Right.
And so, you know, I will also say that I find them smart and mm-hmm. engaged. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a new series right now called Please Explain, where we want people to come on the podcast, our listeners to come onto the podcast, and we'll take them through a subject mm-hmm. and try to get the answers that they want. And we are getting like the smartest questions from people right now. You know, they're really in it, and it's been kind of cool to see.
Well, that's I mean, that's exciting. You know, I mean, we're talking about systemic change in journalism overall, and it's been really interesting to watch the evolution of podcasts. Matthew, the Daily, the New York Times podcast, it, you know, says they've had over a billion downloads.
And I think that says a number of things. Like, I was thinking about what you were saying about walking around listening to them and how they often go deeper. Another thing is the sort of personal aspect. I think it feels more personal.
Intimate.
Exactly. So you hear people's voices, you sort of get a sense of them. You know, maybe it's a real sense of them, or maybe it's just the radio sense of them, but but you kind of get a sense of the people who are talking, you get a sense of emotion, things that are very difficult to convey in print. And so it adds a whole different level, I think, of experience to, say, reading an article.
The other thing I've noticed is kind of like HBO for journalism, that a lot of people, I think, have been freed in the format where, you know, I mean, some podcasts, the people are drinking. And, like, you know, that evolution is fun, or there's more swearing. Like, you can basically do whatever you want, and it's fine. And then it's a bit more loose, right?
Yes, and I think that listeners are more forgiving, too. You know, I find there's something quite charming about listening to a podcast and listening to someone think through something in real time.
Messy is interesting.
You know, even if it's a bit messy, right? Like, even if it takes you a little bit to get there. I myself enjoy sort of going on that journey with whoever I'm listening to.
And I often think about the sort of pros and cons of something. So things that look like cons can actually be pros, or things that look like sort of downsides. So if you think about podcasts, one of the criticisms that people have, including me, is you can't skim them. So it's very difficult. Like, some people listen to them at 1.5 or 2 or 2.5.
I don't get that at all.
Yeah. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so it seems against. So one of the things that that's actually a good thing in a way. So the fact that you can't skim it means that you have to devote some time to it. And by devoting time to it, you sort of have an investment in it. And you kind of, you get deeper into it than you would if you were just skimming an article to get the sense of it, which is what a lot of people do.
Maybe reclaiming our attention spans, Jamie, because we do know the research shows that people like have no attention span at this point because of social media, because of the speed and velocity of content. So maybe this is, you know, people turning towards a form of slow journalism.
Absolutely. You know, I find myself when I'm kind of digging into, I mean, I will say I come from print. I do love a long read.
We're not but, normal people. Yeah, this is the problem.
But,
right?
You know, when you're sitting there reading and your Twitter's going and you're like, oh, I wonder what's happening on Twitter. And then, you know, all of a sudden you've taken a full left turn. But, you know, when I am listening to podcasts, sometimes I will just put my wireless earphones on. I'll clean my house. As I mentioned, I was just walking around Chicago. Sometimes I'll get on my bike and go for like a long bike ride and listen to, you know, an Uncover series. And then sometimes I find myself listening, binge listening in the car, you know, if I'm driving to the cottage or I'm driving for a weekend away. And yeah, I do think that, you know, I do think this idea, and I'll go back to that generational thing because, you know, I know a lot of people are listening to podcasts, but generally it is a bit of a younger audience. You know, this idea that these generations are not interested in learning about the world, I do not think is true. You know, I just think
there's hope learning for the future, Matthew.
Yeah, I just think they're interested in learning about it in a different medium in some cases. And so this is just a different way to get that sort of depth.
Let's talk a little bit about the business of it and what it takes to be successful. So a couple of buckets I'd like to talk about. First is, you know, we talk a lot about news cycles and the speed of news cycles in previous episodes around how Twitter has changed, you know, when you file, how you file. Basically, everything's on fire all the time. And it's not clear to me if there is a formula or a best way to release a podcast at a time. There's been articles recently suggesting that, you know, pods should be taking advantage of the weekend read morning, like a Sunday morning release. I don't know. What have you guys, in terms of your consumption, what have you noticed in certain terms of patterns of release that are successful in terms of timing?
I think it really depends on what you're trying to do. Right. I mean, there are obviously newsy podcasts.
The Daily. Daily's obvious.
Yeah. We release Monday to Friday.
And you want to grab people when they're looking for news, and when maybe they just get up, or they're in the car, or they're on transit, or whatever. And then there are the ones that are more thoughtful, that I think it's kind of a crapshoot. Like, you just have to release them and then hope people find them when they need them. Yeah. And then maybe look at your analytics and try and figure out, did one thing work better than the other? Because it's hard to tell.
Yeah, has CBC done any research that you can share with us?
Yeah, I'm sure efficacy? They have. I'm not sure. I don't know. I haven't been privy to those conversations. I'm sure they have, though, because I know they have been experimenting around when they're releasing the uncovers. Like, do you release them all at once? Do you release two? And then do you release two more the next week?
Right.
You know, I will say, though, if you just have a great podcast, it does seem like people find it, you know? And so if they have to wait a week to listen to the next one, then they will. But if they binge watch them all together, they will. You know, it's the same thing with Netflix, right? Like, sometimes they experiment, but generally the good shows just kind of rise to the top, right?
And I think that's a key with, like, for the CBC and the New York Times and so on, you've got a brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People sort of understand what you're about. Mm-hmm. If you're not a sort of top brand, you got to try harder. Mm-hmm. So then you have to have a voice of some kind. You have to either be talking about something really interesting, and or you have to be really interesting. And so, and
and
it doesn't,
not everybody is interesting.
Exactly. And not everybody. So
that's fair.
Say what you will about Jesse Brown or Joe Rogan, they have a personality and a voice, and that really resonates with people, even if they disagree with them or think they're weird in some way. At least there's a sort of power that comes from that voice, that personality.
Yeah, I've also noticed there is a correlation between the guest's social media presence and, like, volume of attention they have, and how well an episode does. So we did, you know, 10 episodes last season, and the ones that performed better were people like with Matthew on it, who have a big Twitter following, and then people are curious to hear what you sound like.
Right.
So I'm like, hey, Matthew's on the pod, and then it did very, very well. Which is kind of why you're back.
I mean, that's what I was just going to ask.
That also, he's very smart. But I
that's
mean,
good. Now I know this episode will do well.
Yeah.
Perfect. I'm glad I came by. Yeah,
but your pod's doing very well, right? So it makes sense. And Elamine's been on from BuzzFeed. You know, people who have presence and who are already engaged in a conversation, it drives an audience. CBC is really lucky, though. It's not like you guys don't need to make money at this stuff.
Yes. Well,
that's
true. Nice. Although, you know, part of CBC is... business model is revenue as well, right? So
it's course,
similar
yeah.
to like NPR or the BBC. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you have a lot of room. I mean,
it is a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Matthew, how do people make money at this? Is it as lucrative as people think it is? I'm curious about the Canada Land example specifically.
Yeah. I mean,
clearly Jesse's doing okay.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's a very specific model. The sort of Patreon Kickstarter funded model is a very direct to consumer kind of model. Once you get into things like advertising, it gets a lot more sticky, because I think good podcasts, that personal, I'm on Leo Laporte's shows from time to time, and he has an extremely targeted audience. Mm. They're very loyal. And if Leo says something like, I use this email scheduling software, you know, thousands of people will go check it out. So that has high value.
Right.
But not every podcast is going to have that. And particularly if you're new. So now what's the value of sort of advertising on that podcast? It's almost impossible to pin down.
Right. I mean, I guess you do need to know your target audience pretty clearly. For Front Burner, did you guys have an audience? Were you looking for millennials to pull them into the news?
No, I mean, I will say, you know, the numbers that we have around age are from Spotify. So I would assume that Spotify skews a bit younger just because, like, I don't use Spotify. I use Apple, you know, but my cousins are using Spotify. They're in their early 20s. So No, I don't think there was a specific audience in mind. Mm-hmm. I think we just I do think there are younger people listening to podcasts, you know, and they've maybe found them a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. And so, but I also think that you're seeing, you know, a lot of people now turn to podcasts as, you know, they are getting cars that have you know, like right. those Apple screens right. in them, Smart right? Cars. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, my obviously now my parents are listening to my podcast. But my, you know, my dad is now, yeah, they like it very much. Yeah.
If it makes yeah. you feel any better, my mom and dad yeah. also listen to this podcast.
Yeah,
and
great.
It's a nice feeling. It's yeah. good. There's nothing wrong with
but
that.
But they're finding other podcasts. Sure. And, you know, we were talking about before we started recording, now we're seeing people with long broadcasting histories come mm-hmm. into this space. So maybe they'll bring more people to mm-hmm. podcasts as well, because I think it's important to note that I don't have the most recent numbers, but only like 15% of Canadians are listening to podcasts, period, right? Mm-hmm. And that number is growing and women are growing. All of this is positive.
Sure.
But there's still this huge untapped like market out there yeah. of people who just aren't listening yet.
It's it's interesting. So social media and YouTube and more sort of quick access distribution channels have really created a situation for television of cord cutting and turning away yeah. from mm-hmm. appointment viewing. Yeah. And I remember easily a decade ago, you know, people were musing, okay, well, like local newscasts on TV will go away because nobody's going to sit down at 6 o'clock and watch the news. When I think about podcasts, I wonder, is this the beginning of the end for traditional radio? As in, like, we don't want to have to sit there and wait for the radio. We're going to go get it ourselves. Is that?
Definitely. Yes? Definitely. I mean, it, to me, fast? it feels like exactly the same okay. thing. And so you've got all the same factors. You've got disintermediation. You've got sort of network effects. You've got people, like, not wanting to have appointment viewing or appointment listening.
Right.
And all of those things are acting on radio, or audio, if you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And so people can listen to whatever they want, whenever they want. And there's just way more supply than there used to be.
Right.
So in the same way there used to be 3 TV channels, you know, now there's 800 million of them. And Netflix is making more TV every half hour than there was, you know, all year mm-hmm. when I was growing up. Used the same thing with radio. So the big problem and opportunity is there's just way more of everything.
Right.
There's way more articles. There's way more news websites. There's way more TV. There's more TV than you could ever consume in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's way more podcasts now sure. than, so being found is hard.
Yeah.
And that's where I think having a name or a voice yeah. or a brand or something targeted, something specific. That's why I think the early successes were, here's a story and we're just going to go as deep as possible into that story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a very compelling, mm-hmm. you know, pitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about some vague thing. It's about this specific thing. And that's all we're going to talk about.
Right. I mean, clearly also with podcast, Jamie, the border for content is not, like, it's disappeared. If you're tracking American and Canadian listeners.
Yes.
And of course, Canadians are still ingesting so much yes. American content. Do you worry sometimes about, you know, Canadians getting enough Canadian stuff into their systems?
That is why we have Front Burner. So yeah, I mean, I will say, you know, when I was talking about those charts, like, we're talking about the Canadian charts, right?
Right.
So, you know, 92% of our listeners are Canadian. They're coming from Canada. Well, that makes sense, right? Like, it's a Canadian yeah. news podcast.
Sure.
But the other podcasts, you know, the Uncover podcast, they have a global audience. Wow. And, you know, The Daily also has a global audience.
I'm just curious. Can you see the day where a Canadian pod can yeah. actually compete at that global level? Or
yeah.
are we just basically trying to keep up with the Americans?
No, I'm sorry. Let me. I think they are competing at that global level right now. I think Connie Walker's podcast, Missing and Murdered, is competing at the global level. Mm-hmm. I think the Uncover ones are competing mm-hmm. at a global level. I think when you start to do, country-specific news, it's harder mm-hmm. to compete at a global level. I mean, we seem to have a lot of people listening from Cuba. I'm not really sure why, but
expats.
That's
yeah, expats. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But I think that's absolutely already happening.
But think about Missing and Murdered.
Right.
That's just a compelling story.
It is.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you even know where Canada is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's just a compelling, horrific story.
Yeah, for sure.
Same thing with Someone Knows Something. And I also will say, to Canada Land, my understanding, and I don't, Jesse can correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. but my understanding is that Thunder Bay was also
mm-hmm.
like right. a very big success, and not just in Canada.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. Do you think though, given the volume of pods out there, and like everybody can have one, companies too. I mean, let's be honest, right? There's a number of companies that are trying to use podcasts. I mean, we have this one and it's useful. But do you worry about quality and both of the accuracy of some of these pods and the journalism of it and also the sound quality? I mean, what do you have to say?
I mean,
on that
I think
front?
We're going to see the same thing we saw, the same thing we've seen with whenever the internet touches something,
right.
is you just have this vast spectrum of garbage at one end and quality at the other end.
Right.
And there's any number of sort of, you know, places that you can go on that spectrum. And there are also, one thing I learned with YouTube was, particularly when it comes to news, is that when something's new, when something just happened, people are very willing to sacrifice things like quality or even accuracy because they just want information now.
And it's exciting and it's raw and it feels different, right?
And so they don't care. Does the camera shake up and down? Who cares?
Right.
You know, someone is on a street where a bomb went off. So, but and then as time goes by, people are looking for more and more depth and more quality and more accuracy. And if so, where you fall on that spectrum is determined by what you're trying to do.
Wild West, though, kind of, Jamie, right? I mean, you know, you guys have at CBC, you have Jack Nagler, who's the ombudsperson,
yes.
and, you know, and you have standards. And
yes.
But I can just pick up a mic and do whatever I want and
but I suppose
if I'm interesting
enough. I suppose you could also write a blog. You could also have a website, right?
And yeah,
you're not scared,
and
you're
you can certainly
me.
Say anything
That's
you want
internet.
On Twitter.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, for us, the podcast, you know, is subjected to all the same standards as like everything else at the CBC, journalistic standards and principles. You know, I think our listeners can take some solace in that, hopefully, right? Like that we fact check every episode, like post.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That must be tough though, to be sort of like conversational, because I've listened to some of your interviews. So be loose and conversational and authentic, and then in post go back and be like, oh my god, what
did I say something
do?
That was wrong?
Yeah, that's extremely stressful.
I can tell you that that has happened.
And so, and then what do you edit? I mean, you guys edit,
yes.
obviously.
Well, edit
we don't
it
edit
out.
This podcast on purpose, right? Well, one, it's just easier.
Yeah.
And two, I like when it doesn't sound perfectly organized.
I think
director agrees, but whatever.
And I think that's part of the appeal.
Yeah, that is part of the appeal.
That's part of the appeal. It's what makes it resonate with people, is you being a human being.
Right.
That's why social media is so powerful in the first place.
Right.
Is because people screw up and they're human and they're, and then you see the way they sort of respond to that. And I think it depends on what is your brand, if you will. What is your, are you, if you're the CBC, it's, you know, we talk to Canadians and we're accurate and we're a news organization. If you're just a guy, hey, I talk shit about people, or I, you know, say what kinds of juice I like or whatever.
Right.
Who cares? Like, literally nobody is going to care whether you said something wrong about that juice.
Right.
Yeah.
Different standards,
right.
I think,
sure.
you know, especially when you're dealing with controversial subjects or balance issues. And so I've had a lot of learning curves here, particularly moving from print to audio and, you know, sitting down and trying to craft like casual conversations, but still conversations that feel like they make sense and flow in like
print,
a,
you can go back.
Yeah.
And,
you can
like,
go back
rewrite
and change it.
And like fiddle with it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do. It's difficult to hit that balance, right? Of like, you know, balance, accuracy, casual and casualness. And so it's this constant dance that we're doing. And, you know, I hope we try to hit it every day. And, and maybe some days we fall short and then we postmortem it and we try to do better the next day.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about strategy that some of the major Canadian media brands have done to take their old school, you know, marquee reporters and move them into podcasting. Because I thought when they gave you Front Burner, I thought that was an exciting, really forward-thinking, almost unlike CBC decision to put you in that spot. So it's been lovely to hear you there and just not to
I was wondering if they were really regretting it for a few months.
No, I mean, but that's it. And then, but in the meantime, though, since they gave you the show, we've seen, you know, Peter Mansbridge jump back into the fray. Kevin Newman, who, of course, we all love, but he's also been moved to podcasts. And Maria Tremonti, also into podcasts. What do you guys make of the strategy, and will it work? Because, you know, for me, like, I lean more towards a new voice in podcasting. I think that's why your pod is doing well, Jamie. That's my assessment of it.
Thank you.
What do you make of the old school
folks? But I think if you're thinking about, like, say Kevin Newman, maybe he's looking for something new to do.
True.
You're looking for something new for him to do. the things he traditionally did are being done by other people now. But still, smart guy, lots of name recognition,
right.
You know, good journalist. Yeah. So why not try a podcast? And maybe people will love it and maybe they won't, but at least you could give it a shot.
Right.
And if I was Kevin Newman, I would think, well, why not?
Right.
You know, connect with people in a different way.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm a journalist, so I have a lot of respect for all of these people, right? I'm finding it really enjoyable listening to Peter Mansbridge in this different environment
right.
talk about the election every night. I've been listening to his election podcast, and it feels like a different version of Peter Mansbridge to me.
Okay.
But the same Peter Mansbridge, you know. But it's a little bit more casual and. You know, I'm really looking forward to Anna Maria Tremonti's podcast.
Yeah, what's the deal?
She's like an incredibly gracious and funny and kind person. Yeah. And like, I just think, you know, this is such the most incredible interviewer, one of the most incredible interviewers in the country.
Probably one of the best.
Can you give us a sense of what are they going to do with her? What can you give us?
Oh, I am not going to. I don't know. I don't even know if I have said too much already.
Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. That's cool. I mean, it's curious, though.
But you know, she has a podcast coming out, and I think it's been advertised as a sort of long form. I think it's gonna be very good.
Yeah. I just wonder sometimes, Matthew, like some of it is like taking the old school journalism and applying it to a new channel. What we've learned, I think, in digital writing and channel adjustments, that people will often try to apply the old frame into the new format, and it really doesn't work very well. Right. And then a kid will come by, you know, and kill all of us at it because they weren't burdened by the old frame.
And I think that's the risk when you. So it's like when everybody was getting blogs, you know.
Right. Or newsletters, too, right?
Yeah. And so some people take to that very well. And some people, there's a real feeling of that sort of Steve Buscemi, you know, gif. Hey, fellow kids, you know, like you're pretending that you're down with the kids what's happening.
Yeah. You can't fake that, really.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. And so when it works. And when it doesn't, it's super awkward and uncomfortable.
Agreed.
But that doesn't mean... you shouldn't try.
Right.
I will say, I think what Matthew, I think you're just hit it on. I think that's it. That podcasting to me is about authenticity. I actually don't care what people sound like. I don't care what their voices sound like. I don't care, you know, what their pedigree is. Like, do I feel like I'm listening to somebody who's themselves? That's it. Like, you know, and are they saying interesting things that are keeping my attention, right?
Yeah.
So
that's so exciting. Does this feel real to me? Yeah.
You know, do I feel like I'm listening to someone who's in this conversation, who's having a good time, who like is thinking through like whatever we're talking about, even if it's not perfect, even if you lose the train of the conversation,
craving the connection.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The benefit is it's exactly like going to a conference or watching a talk show or seeing someone interviewed, and it's just a great conversation, and that person's having fun, and their interviewer is smart, and they, you know, that's what makes a great TV show. It's what makes a great podcast. It's what makes a great panel at a conference. But that's very difficult to, like, it's magical almost. You know, the recipe for creating it is not. It doesn't always work.
No,
but when it does, it's great.
We agree. Okay, so before I let you guys go, let's look into the future. Maybe let's say 5 years. What does podcasting look like in Canada in 5 years' time?
Take a guess.
Like, are we going to, like, what will happen to radio specifically in, like, in the face of podcast popularity? That's what I'm thinking about.
I'm not sure 5 years is long enough.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Like, I don't.
10?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, everyone's still reading newspapers, right? And we've been talking about this.
Everyone.
Not really.
Okay, That's a good point. But
happened,
a lot of people are still reading newspapers.
Right? It happened fast, Jamie, right?
So. Okay.
It reminds me, you know what Jeff Bezos said about newspapers? Was there'll probably always be newspapers, just like there are still horses. People used to ride horses, like, all the time.
Yeah.
That was the only way to get around. And now people still ride horses, but not very many of them. And it's kind of a... you know, niche thing for rich people. So it's not that people won't still be listening to things like radio, but they'll probably be older people, and there probably won't be that many of them.
Interesting.
But podcasts, I could see, you're probably going to see the same kind of stratification you've seen with other things.
Yep.
There'll be one or two really huge ones.
People mm-hmm. who have the cash to do it really, really well.
Exactly. Yeah. There'll be lots of little ones sort of further down, and then there'll just be a sea of kind of, you know, things yep. that have like five listeners or...
And I mean, the other thing I think everybody's waiting for is these big companies mm-hmm. to start putting these behind pay. So, I mean, what's Spotify going to do? What's Apple going to yeah. do? They've got a tremendous amount of resources, like, you know,
and control
and yeah. control, right? They've got all these podcasts.
And Spotify wants to own this market.
Yeah.
It's right. very clear.
So that will be interesting too. And I think also how news organizations are going to start maybe putting these behind their own paywalls too, right? Like, you know, does the Washington Post start to put its podcast mm-hmm. behind its paywall? Mm-hmm. You know, does the New York Times at some point just move the Daily behind the New York Times? I know we can't do that right now because it's an open ecosystem, but like, how does this all kind of work?
Right.
And are we just going to find ourselves in the same like predicament we are currently? Like, it feels like the road that we're going down with television
yeah.
is that there's going to be 17 companies that you have a subscription to. Mm-hmm.
And Matthew, you were joking, yeah. everyone would have that one show that you right. love.
Yeah, but right. you have to do it because you want that one show.
That's right.
Yeah. 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 And then I worry sometimes, and this is probably for another day, like how that will affect this incredible organic ecosystem yeah. that has been podcasting, mm-hmm. where you get these, like,
right.
really random shows that feel like they were kind of thrown together maybe, but also but magic happens, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. Like I'm thinking about, you know, shows that maybe just seem like a wacky idea mm-hmm. at the start, right? Like who knew a show like Reply All would it be as great as it is? You yeah. know, I wonder if you would get these if it was just, you know, giant corporations.
And if we lose that magic, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, when you listen to one of those
yeah.
and they go in deep on some incredibly arcane thing that you've literally never heard of before, like how the New York subway system was formed or
yeah.
and why the different letters and numbers. It's just you never knew you wanted to know about that in that depth, and yet it's mm-hmm. so fascinating.
And right. if you pitched it to like a very like a boardroom full of people,
yeah,
would it have gotten passed? No. You know? No. And so that I worry about that.
Yeah. Well, let's hope the magic continues. And Jamie, I hope your podcast is still around in 5-10 years too.
Thank you so much.
It's lovely.
I do too.
I really appreciate both of you guys coming on to this podcast. It's been great.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to continue the conversation, you can find us on Twitter. Matthew is at MatthewY, Jamie is at Jamie_Poisson, and I'm at Sophie Nadeau.